Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the program, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of North and Baptist Bible College. And again, we are continuing our series with Dr. Steve Pettit, who has been in evangelism and revival ministry for 22 years.
Glad to be here.
You are in the middle of doing revival meetings here at Northland.
Yes, sir. We started Monday night.
And, Doc, you began this years and years ago here when you took the school over as the president. Why did you feel the school needed a revival every year?
Well, I believe we need to keep our perspective, especially in an academic setting. It's very easy to get lost in an academic function. And we put everything in test tubes, and we put everything in areas like that. But we become so vertically inspired, we become horizontally worthless. And if we do not take time to focus on a week in the midst of all of our busy schedules to be vertical in that, examining what is our heart relationship with God, what we're doing here academically is no different than what the world is doing.
Right.
All we do is mention the Lord more often in a right context. And consequently, I feel it's a time of adjusting, of focusing, where we have to say, Lord, what do I need to correct as I go on in my preparation for ministry? Because if I go out with an empty heart and a head that's full of knowledge, there's not going to be much of an impact.
We've been discussing together in the previous broadcast a chapter that really kind of stands at the heart of the concept of bringing our hearts into submission to God through the process of the refreshment that comes from a revival that God brings. And that was Romans chapter 7. And you were talking about two laws and a discovery that Paul made there.
Well, I think it would be good for Dr. Pettit to walk us through that section of Romans chapter 7, because it really is describing the state in which Paul found himself years after his conversion. And I think we ought to just turn him loose and we'll just say amen once in a while.
Well, the message actually was the autobiography of Paul. 27 times in Romans 7, Paul uses the personal pronoun I. He was speaking about himself. And the conclusion was that he was a wretched man. That was not a man who was lost, but a man who was troubled. And that trouble was rooted back in the fact that the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do. The things he didn't want to do, he did. And I think every believer who's honest will testify that that's me. And there's a trouble going on in my soul. And then in verse 21 of Romans 7, he says, I find then a law, or I have discovered by experience some unchanging principles. And that word I find means to discover, like a scientist would discover things by empirical evidence. Empirical would mean things that are repeatable, things that are measurable. And of course, Paul is saying, I go through these same experiences all the time. I think all of us go through the same frustrations with ourselves. And what did he discover? He discovered unchanging laws, like the law of gravity. These are unchanging principles. And here's what he discovered. He said that when he would do good, evil is present with him. In other words, there was never a time in his experience of obedience to God that there was not, like living in the same room, the presence of evil. And then he expands that. He says in the next verse, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is what he means by the good. And that the law of God here is not referring to the Ten Commandments. It's referring to the, as the Jewish people would call it, the Torah, which was the first five books of Moses. And actually the law and prophets, the entire Old Testament.
Yeah, the instruction of God, the teaching of God.
Absolutely. And what do the first five books of the Bible do? It reveals to us the nature and the character of God, what God is like as he is presented in the history of the Jewish people and literally the history of the world. And Paul says, I love this. I love God. I find my delights even deep in my soul on these things. And those of us who are true believers do delight in the things of God. But then he says in the very next verse, I see another principle in my body, my members. And this is a war. It's not something that's in the past, Paul said. It is in the present. It is warring against the law of my mind. In other words, he is saying, I am having a battle in my thought life. Is there anybody listening today who doesn't have a battle in their thought life?
Oh, my.
And it doesn't matter how much theological education you have, you still have the flesh.
Right.
And therefore, to be an honest believer, I must admit that I have a battle going on the battlefield of my mind, and it brings me into captivity. That is, it literally goes out and captures me like a slave into the law of sin which is in my members. The law of sin simply means this. He's not speaking about the fact that the human body is sinful, but the human body is the instrument through which sin operates.
Right.
Just like the violinist plays through the violin and the pianist plays through the piano, so sin, you could say, plays through the body. So that our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our hands, our feet become,
our members.
Yes, become instruments through which sin operates. So here is Paul, almost like a spiritual schizophrenic, who has at both times a desire for God and a desire for sin. And then he cries out, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, I'm troubled. Who shall deliver me?" This is the heart cry of a desperate man from the body of this death. And we know by illustration that there were times in the ancient world where if a man murdered another man and he was caught in time and received the death penalty, his death was gruesome. For they would take the body of the man that he had killed and would bind that dead body to his body, face to face, chest to chest, hands to hands, with ropes, throw them out into the hot Mediterranean sun, and what would happen to the body? It would decay and eat death into him. So here is a man saying, "I'm strapped to this body of death." That's called desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And here is Paul crying out in desperation for deliverance. When was the last time we sat in church and people sat there and they started crying out in desperation that God would deliver them from who they are? And this is Paul the Apostle explaining the struggles we face in sanctification. But it is not to despair, but it is actually to deliverance,
mm-hmm.
because he concludes with the message of hope that I do have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think this leads us into something that we have been discussing, and that is where we find ourselves today among Christians.
Yes.
We talked about different positions, and the positions we talked about are the extremities today. One is the extremity of license. We could say these are those who focus on our self-rights,
mm-hmm.
our rights and our freedoms under grace. On the other extreme, we have those who are living under the law. And instead of focusing on their self-rights, they are actually focusing on their self-righteousness. And that in either case is self-oriented, which at the very bottom line is pride, because it is all about self. But between license and law is liberty in Christ, or freedom mm-hmm. under Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And liberty as a believer is not the freedom to live selfishly. It is the freedom to overcome the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it requires true liberty always leads to biblical humility.
Mm-hmm.
People who are living in license oftentimes focus on their rights, and their focal point is more of an intellectual approach oftentimes. Because it's almost like we're dumb because we don't understand. Whereas those who are living under the law and focus on their own self-righteousness actually in many ways live ignorant of the freedom that we have. But here in the middle, which I believe is the right and balanced position, is a constant dependence upon the Lord for His grace to overcome what we are by nature. And that's where we are today. And I find that this is a very difficult position. I think the fact that there's a revival meeting this week is a testimony of our absolute need of the work of the Spirit to overcome
Amen.
The wretched man.
Amen.
You know, a school like this could easily lead to intellectualism and could easily lead to self-rights. Fact is, I find that when people would leave Northland, especially if they leave with a bad attitude, generally they'll go to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Their focal point will always be on freedom and license. And it goes back to there is a problem with pride in the heart. In some cases, they can go to the position of law, and they go to a position where they find freedom or they find a sense of security under certain standards and certain rules, but it really doesn't deal with the corrupt nature. Mm-hmm. And so in either case—
It just deals with control.
Absolutely. And so this is why we throw our hands up and we say we are absolutely dependent on God to work in our lives. Mm-hmm. And if God doesn't work, we're done.
That's right.
And that's the place that we ought to live. And that's not comfortable because it doesn't look good. People will laugh at that position.
What's the deliverance?
The deliverance is, first of all, in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 7, it's I. Romans chapter 6, it's death, 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 death. In Romans chapter 8, it's spirit, 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 mm-hmm. spirit, spirit.
In fact, it's one of the places in the book where this Holy Spirit most shows up.
Absolutely. And the Spirit always shows up when we are desperate mm-hmm. because He wants to be depended upon. Mm-hmm. And it's only when we get to the point of dependence that He shows up. It's like we rarely want to go to the doctor until we get to the end of ourselves. And we show up at the doctor's office saying, "Doctor, I'm dependent. I'm miserable and I need help." And so the deliverance is in the belief of our need of complete reliance upon the Holy Spirit's power and help to overcome the flesh, and then the development of a mindset that is focused on the things of God.
And Paul points out the victory is won.
Absolutely.
It's ours to apply.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We have within us the third person of the Trinity empowering us, but it requires a brokenness for that inner power to be released to work out through
Absolutely.
Us to control our members.
Absolutely.
But I can choose within my soul to not let that power have its way.
Right.
That's why I think virtue I define as holy moral character, because I make right moral choices, giving the Spirit of God who indwells me the right to control me.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's always a resistance because of our pride nature, even to recognize I need the Spirit. And I'm even desperate to have the Spirit's help. I still have within me the presence of evil that's too proud to say, you know, "Lord, help me." But Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us, he says in verse 2, he says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Mm-hmm. Like the law of gravity, it will never leave us, but it can be overcome by the law of aerodynamics. There is a higher, more powerful
yes.
law.
And on that note, we're going to have to wrap up the broadcast today, but what a wonderful opportunity to think through the idea of having to take sin seriously. There is a discovery that we make that leads to a desperation that ultimately will bring about a deliverance if we depend on the power of the Spirit. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.